It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Phil, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. I'm very good, thank you.
Thanks for chatting to us this morning. It's a lovely sunny day in Tamaki Makaurau. We've got quite a lot to talk about. Lots has happened since we've last spoken to you. We're going to start by talking about Ihu Matau and some of the things that have been going down in the last week. So for people who aren't necessarily familiar, although I'm sure a lot of BFM listeners will know what's up, there has been an occupation of protectors on the land at Ihu Matau for the last week since Fletcher's, I guess, served an eviction notice, and the government's stepped in now and has said that no building will take place on the land until an agreement can be reached. So what's the next step for this, and what's council's involvement in it, Phil?
Yeah, council involvement started way back well over a decade ago when the council had moved to try to designate that area as a parkland. And the Environment Court ruled against council, and the Environment Court's ruling was final. So it ruled that the land, the Wallace Block is what we're talking about 32 hectares, it ruled that it be used for future urban housing and business development. So at that point, the battle over making the Wallace Block a part of the park was lost. What the council did, however, it purchased 92 hectares, which is the Otawatoa land, the Stonefields land. So the critical cultural heritage geological features are now encompassed in public open space, preserved in perpetuity. So 92 hectares there. And more recently, council has made another 8.9 hectares in what's called the Rennie Block, which has got a historic homestead on it, adjacent to the land in dispute. It's also made that, or it's in the process of making that, land that will be available for public open space. But council is certainly not in a position to spend $40 million on purchasing another block of land in an area which, you know, we have now put a lot of resources in for public open space. And, of course, you know, we've got to look at being fair right across the city and making sure that we have public open space everywhere.
So one thing that I found quite interesting about this whole debate, though, is a lot of councillors are expressing regret about this. Efeso Collins has been quite public about saying that we should be getting this land back and making sure it's the precious and sacred land that it is. Because there is this other layer here, and a really significant one as well, that this isn't just any sort of public land. This has huge cultural significance to the mana whenua of that land, but also is one of our very earliest, I guess, sites of Māori arrival in Auckland. So there's a lot of things going on there. Do you not think that means it should be more of a priority for council? I understand that you need to be making sure your resources are fairly spread.
No, I mean, I think you've got to look at the other side of that as well. The tribes that we have been dealing with are the three mana whenua tribes. So that's Waikato Tainui, Kawarau Maki, and Te Akatai o Waihua. And all three of those tribes, the mana whenua, said they were happy with the Fletcher's development and they were supportive of it. In fact, they went so far as writing to us and saying, this is not your business, please keep out of it, this is the deal we've reached and this is the deal that we stand behind. So the fundamental challenge in finding a resolution to this block of land is that the formerly recognised mana whenua groups have supported the Fletcher's development and the protest group has not.
So there's
a divided view, including within Māoridom, about what the future of that land should be.
But I think that that's possibly unfair as well, but with the people who are there on the land at the moment, they are mana whenua too. There isn't necessarily, that divide isn't necessarily so clear cut. As you were saying, there is a lot of into Māori politics going on here, of course, but this is, you know, not necessarily as clear cut as that. There's a lot of people sort of contesting those iwi who have been contacting council and been sort of part of the Fletchers.
But that's just what I said. There is a divide within Māori, and the fact that there is a divide is clear cut. And normally, the protocol, tikanga, when we are dealing with Māori, is that we deal with the statutorily recognised representatives of the mana whenua. And that's what we've been doing. Now, what we did on Friday, I had a council passed a resolution which said, you know, is there a further way in which we can help bring parties together to facilitate a discussion? Because I think everybody agrees that, you know, much better to have Korero on this rather than confrontation. And I'd made efforts to do that earlier. The Crown at that point wasn't interested in becoming involved in the facilitation process, and nor were the mana whenua groups. Very clear-cut discussions with the Kaumatua and Kuia, and they said, no, we don't want a discussion. So we made an effort, and initially it failed. And last week, as the confrontation developed, we said, well, look, you know, we didn't succeed last time. Let's have a go again. Let's see if we can bring the parties together. Let's see if we can find some common ground. I had a discussion last Thursday with Jacinda Ardern, and her views were the same. Let's, you know, we want, if at all possible, not to have a confrontation that would leave scars on both sides, quite frankly. And we met as a first step on Friday out at the airport at the Tainui Hotel with the mana whenua and with Fletcher's. And that's where the Prime Minister's announcement was made that the building would not occur until such time as further discussions had taken place. Now, you said, where does it go to from here? Well, the decision at that meeting was to involved discussions with the wider iwi across Tamaki Makaurau and extending into the Kingitanga movement. And those discussions will take place, I think, today and tomorrow. And at the same time, Crown representatives, two ministers, Willie Jackson and Penny Hanare, did go onto site, talk to the protest group. Nanaia Mahuta, who has strong connections with the area and it's part of her electorate area, she is also involved. I had a discussion with her as recently as about an hour ago. She is giving her best efforts to try to get people together to talk to see what might be a potential outcome. This is something that in the end will need to be resolved between the mana whenua, the people who are the statutorily recognised people, and other people within that area with a connection to the land. And I think, you know, it's not a case of government coming in and imposing a solution or council coming in and imposing a solution. It's trying to get the parties together and say, where can we find some common ground to find a way through that will meet the basic needs of all parties.
All right, well, I'm sure we'll probably come back to this topic in future weeks, because I feel like it's going to be an ongoing conversation
as
well.
It's probably not going to go away in a hurry.
No, yeah, I don't think so. But let's come further into the centre of town now and talk a little bit about High Street. What's going on down there? We've been talking for a long time in Auckland about making it a carless street. And what's the news on that, Phil?
Yeah, well, the announcement that I made together with the chair of the local board and the chair of the planning committee on Friday was that we're going to begin trials within a couple of months to convert some of those on-road parking spaces into areas that can be used by pedestrians with a view bringing forward by about 3 years, with a view to hoping to achieve either a shared space or a pedestrianised area in High Street. Now, we're doing that by way of what's called co-design. We're trialling it. We're then working with the local retailers, the local residents, the people that work in that area to say, OK, how's that working? What's the next step? But anybody that's familiar with High Street, and I worked out of an office there 3 years ago, knows that it suffers from traffic congestion on one hand, a narrow one-lane area for cars plus parking space on road, which doesn't seem to be the most appropriate because there are much better uses for that, and very narrow pedestrian footpaths. And for every person in a car going down that road, there's 14 pedestrians. More people living there, more people working there. And we want to make this a place, pretty much like O'Connell Street, if you're familiar with O'Connell Street.
I am.
Beautiful area. Freiburg Square, which comes onto
connects
High Street.
Connects them. Yeah, it'll be nice. Yeah.
Yeah, make it a place that's designed around people rather than trying to cramp car parks onto the road and have a car thoroughfare there. It's not suitable for that, and it doesn't serve either the needs of pedestrians or the needs of cars in the end.
So what's the timeline on it, Phil?
Timeline is by October we'll be trialling it, starting at the north end, removing some of the on-street car parking and, you know, putting street furniture in and areas for pedestrians, working our way down the street. But with the role of, once we've got it absolutely right, then we can start to spend the bigger money that's required to make that shared space. So taking out the curb, and making sure that that's paved in a way that is people-friendly, and not making it just a through road for cars, which it doesn't work very well as anyway. So I would hope, we've pushed our staff on this, said, look, we want this done 3 years quicker than what you might have been envisaging. At the same time, we want to work with the local people to make sure that we're getting it right and the local people are on side. Because when they tried to do that in the past, it ended up with a fallout, you know, dispute between some of the retailers and some of the people who wanted pedestrian space.
Hopefully we can avoid that this time, but I think it sounds like a good initiative.
It's going to be a fantastic area, and, you know, it's the sort of, you know, if you go into Freiburg Square now, you know, particularly in the warmer months, that's an area where people congregate, have lunch, enjoy the space, and you feel...
Come down
to
Drive Island at the LML
look like and feel like, yeah. And you look at High Street and you say, this is not what a city should look like and feel like. It's actually a congested disaster, and we want to repair that, but we want to take people with us as we do it.
All right, fantastic. Well, that's all we've got time for this morning, Phil, but thank you for speaking to us. I'm sure we'll be touching base on the Ihu Mātou topic again in the future as well, so thank you for your time this morning.
And hopefully we'll make some progress on that. Yeah, thanks, Rachel. Good to be on the program.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff. It's